All right, so I wanted to move on to the sixth parak for a few times, and then maybe we'll move on to the seventh parak after that, just to get.
Well, yeah, why not? Saying Dafka Yehudis. What? Okay. Oh, okay. Saying. I just wanted to talk a little bit about these tzedakah inyanim that come up, just specifically, unbelievably difficult agarata on end of Samach Vav and Beis with the Maisa of the Bas Nakdima Ben Gurion. Very strange story, to say the least. And also, maybe a little bit about Dei Machsaro, a little bit about that. I don't know. We'll see. But for starters, today's going to be mostly agarata. Little change from the norm, but let's take a look in the Gemara on Samach Vav Amid Beis. Tana Rabbana Maisa B'Rab Yochanan Ben Zakkai Shaya Rochev Ala Chamor V'Haya Yotzim Yerushalayim V'Haya Talmida Mahalchen Acharav. Right, so this is talking obviously with Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai following Churban Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, as we know, was the Manig Yisrael during the Churban Beis HaMikdash in the times of the Romans. And he was going with his donkey out of Yerushalayim. By a talmidav mahalchen acharav, ro riva acha shehoisam laketes saor mimin glolei behemton shalaraviim. Kevan sheroasa oso nisatva besaira veomda lefonav. So I know you wanted to talk about Das Moshe Das Yehudis. It says here nisatva besaira veomda lefonav. I don't know what she's supposed to be mashma from that exactly, but. She made herself appear as tznua as possible, and she stood in front of him. Amralo Rebbe Parnaseni, Amralo Biti Miat, Amralo Bas Nakdima Ben Gurion Ani. I'm the daughter of Nakdima Ben Gurion. Amralo Biti Mamin Shel Beis Avicha Eichon Halach. So where did all your family's money go? You're one of the richest people in Yerushalayim. So Amralo Rebbe Lo Kadin Maslin Maslab Yerushalayim. Melach Mammon Choser, right? So he says, don't we have the famous statement in Yerushalayim that if you want your mammon to be preserved, the way to salt it, in those days they didn't have regular preservatives, they used salt as a preservative. So if you want to preserve your money, so you have to give it away, right? So you have to give tzedakah if you want your money to stay around. So apparently she's saying that my family didn't give enough tzedakah. Or it didn't give any tzedakah, as the case may be. Va'amri lo chesed. And those don't say the word chaser, they say the word chesed. V'shel beis chameich heichan ho. Amri lo abazeh v'ibid azeh. Okay. We lost all our money. Amri lo Rebbe. All right, the reason they brought it in is because of the next line, what he wrote into the ksuva. And so skipping down three lines, it says, Bacha Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai v'amra ashreichem Yisrael b'zman she'osim etzolim shel makom. Ein kol uma veloshen sholetes bohem. Fortunate are you Jews, praiseworthy are you Jews, that when you're doing the Ratzon Hashem, no one can rule over you. Bizman she'ein osim etzon Hashem makom mosrin biyad uma shvela velo biyad uma shvela ela biyad behemton she uma shvela. It's very interesting. He's mamish thrilled that this Nebuch girl has to pick out wheat kernels from the excrement of behemoths. This is very exciting for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's very happy about this. So the question is, what's he so happy about? To see the suffering and the tragedy of this poor girl who grew up in one of the wealthiest households in Yerushalayim, both on her father's side and on her father-in-law's side. And now she literally has nothing. And then the Gemara asks another kasha, V'nagdima ben Gurion lo avid tzedakah? What? How could it be? And we have a brisa talking about the gevaldige tzedakah that Nakdima ben Gurion used to do. And the aniyim used to come and take from him. So the Gemara has two answers to yes, he gave tzedakah, but he boyesema lechvodo hu David. Either he did it for his own personal kavod, right? We boyesema kidiboy leila mevid lo avid, right? Kidamri inshe lefum gam lashichna. So you have to give the camel the weight that it's capable of carrying. If the camel can carry more, then you're supposed to load it up with more. You shouldn't waste the strength of the camel on a light load. So he didn't give enough tzedakah. He gave tzedakah, but he didn't give enough. So those are the two terutzim in the Gemara. So this Gemara is very difficult. We'll start off with one minor kasha, and we'll move on to some stronger kashas. First of all, the Marsha points this out, but I was thinking about it anyway. The famous Gemaras in the fifth parak in Gittin, which deal with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, discuss what happened to the money of Nachum and Ben-Gurion. We kind of know what happened to the money of Nachum and Ben-Gurion. The Gemara there, this particular Gemara is in Gittin Nun Vav Amid Aleph, and it says that the Romans laid siege to the city. And it says that there were three wealthy people in Yerushalayim that had so much stored up in the storehouses over there, they could have supported the Bnei Yisrael for 21 years. So, what happened? Who were they first? So the Gemara says it's Ben Kalba Savua. It's a fairly famous individual. Had a fairly famous son-in-law. And also Nachdimon Ben Gurion. And Uben Tzitzis HaKesis. So who are these individuals? So the Gemara says, what's pshat with these weirdo names? They didn't have normal names. So the Gemara there says, no, Nachdimon Ben Gurion Shenokta Lochamo Bavuro. That the son literally shone on his behalf. So he was obviously somebody very chashiv, and the other midrashim fill in the blanks that he used to be such a tremendous bal tefila. He would daven in such an unbelievable way that it was literally worth it for the sun to come up every morning just for his tefilas. Ben Kalba Savua, why was he called Ben Kalba Savua? Because if you were nichnas lebeso rov, right? If you came into his house, rov kekelev, so yatsa savea. He would leave satisfied, so he used to feed hungry people. And Ben Tzitzis HaKesses, Shea Tzitziaso Nigreris Al Gabe Karmuxasos. So it doesn't seem like such a, it's not a big compliment like the other two. It says basically he was so fancy, he used to walk on pillows. He wouldn't walk on the ground. So his tzitzis would drag on the ground, but they wouldn't drag on the ground. They would drag on these red carpets that they used to put out that he could walk on. So he was such a fancy guy. That's Rashi. But if you look in the Marsha, the Marsha points to the Gemara in Tainis that points out that Nachdimon Ben Gurion was this tremendous Baal Tefila. And Tzitzis HaKesses, it doesn't mean that he would walk on top of, his Tzitzis would go on top of these Ksasos, rather it just means he was a tremendous Medakdek in Mitzvah Tzitzis. I'm not sure, I don't know, you could say like he used to wear a ton of pairs of Tzitzis, like Rav Scheinberg. I don't know exactly what it means. I don't know. Okay, Lemaisa, he was a big medakdik in tzitzis. He's trying to the Gemara in Tainis points out, the Marsha points out that it's hard to say that the big compliment that they offered him was that he used to be super fancy, that he wouldn't even walk on the ground. He would walk only on red carpets, you know. But so Lemaisa, the Gemara says that he was also big tzaddik. He was very medakdik in mitzvahs. Okay. So anyway, so these are the three guys. So what happened to their storehouses? So they decided that there's no problem. We'll just weather the siege from the Romans. And what happened? The Biryonim, who were these, the young upstarts. The famous line. This is the famous Winston Churchill line. I don't know if he actually said it, but it's attributed to him. He said, "When you're a young man and you're not a liberal, so you have no heart." He says, "And if you're an older man and you're not a conservative, you have no brain." You know, so the Chachamim understood, you know, we've seen this before, we'll weather the storm. You know, we'll weather the storm. They had a brain. The Brionim, they only thought with their hearts. They didn't think with their brains. So they're like, no, we got to fight. And the Chachamim knew we'll get slaughtered. So they said, no, let's wait them out. And the Brionim forced their hand by burning down all of the storehouses that belonged to these three wealthy individuals. And therefore, all of the support that Klal Yisrael could have benefited from went up in flames. So really, the kash is, what do you mean? Where did your father's money go? No, where your father? Your father's money went up in flames. So the Marshal gives a poshut teretz. He just says that, no. Avada Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew that all the money went up in flames. That's why he had to pull the whole shtick with faking his own death to leave the city. That's because all the money went up in flames. But he knew all the money went up in flames. But that was talking about wheat. That was talking about supplies. You know, now that the Churban Beis Hamikdash actually happened, so there was no need you were allowed to purchase things again. There was no need to worry dafka about supplies. If you had money, you could buy things. If there's a siege on the city, money is useless, because who are you going to buy from? But if after the siege is over,
So money helps. You can buy things now. So why didn't she have all the leftover money? That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was asking. Not where did all your father's wealth go, but specifically the cash. Where's the cash? We understand that the wheat and everything else and the supplies got burned up, but the cash, where's the cash? So, okay, that was the cash of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's how the Marsha explains it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's historically correct, but can you say this Maisa and Ksuvas happened before, and therefore, and I guess like she rebuilt the money, then lost it again?
No. The whole part of the whole shtick is discussing Dafka, how poor the Jewish people were after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. It says before the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Nachum Ben Gurion was incredibly wealthy. Yeah.
You also say that when he was asking him where'd your money go, not asking literally like where's your money, more asking like. There's like Hashem punished your father for a certain reason. So for what was the reason? What reason did it go?
Yeah. So the reason I don't want to say like that. The reason I don't want to say like that is that it seems that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't know the answer to his question. You know, really smart people when they want to set up a situation like that, they ask questions that they already know the answers to. You know, like if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was like going to say, "Ha, I know exactly what happened here, but I'm just going to be annoying and ask you what happened here, is to make you say it." You know, like, first of all, it's a little cruel. And second of all, it seems from her response that he literally didn't know the answer. He was surprised to find out that she was modev at Pemale that her father didn't give enough tzedakah.
Right.
So in other words, he didn't know. And Lemaisa, you see from the Gemara's Kasha that he wouldn't have known the answer because on the surface, everyone thought Nachum Ben Gurion was this tremendous Baal Tzedakah. So there's no way that he could have known that.
That's why it's a valid question. Like he knew that the storehouses burned down. He's asking, what's the reason why it burned down?
Okay, maybe. Okay. I hear what you're saying. I think it's more mashma like the Marsha. Okay. Okay. So he says that. Now let's get to a much stronger kasha. Is that what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai so thrilled about? He's like, oh, gevaldik! Look at this! He was mamish rejoicing in the terrible din that Bas Nachum ben Gurion had to suffer like this. So the Marsha points out very importantly for us to always keep in mind. It's very important for us to keep in mind that it's a tremendous bracha for Klal Yisrael that our actions determine our fortune. That as we know, that every other nation of the world is judged by Hashgacha Klalis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the Mazalis to rule over them. But we know Ein Mazal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael doesn't get ruled over by Mazalis, we are ruled over by Hashgacha Pratis, and it's a tremendous, tremendous bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if we sin and we don't do what we're supposed to do, that we actually get punished, as opposed to just letting the world run al piteva, that the rich get rich and the richer and the poor get poorer, in the sense that they don't do anything about it. You know, this is a tremendous bracha that even bezman she'ein osim ritzon shel makom, we literally get so poor, so unnaturally poor, that it becomes evident to all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. This is a tremendous bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers us, even when we're getting the wrong end of it. Even when we're not enjoying the results of it, we still have to recognize the bracha that we receive. And this is what was said to Avraham Avinu at the Bris Mei Abisarim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Say me it's Dagninus Shelcha," right? As the Ein Mazal Yisrael, right? He points out that don't look in the stars and see whether or not you're going to have a child. He says, and the Midrashim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up Avraham Avinu above all the Mazalus, and he says, you don't get ruled over by the Mazalus anymore. Now that we had the Bris Mei Abisarim, you're literally under Hashgacha Pratis, and you have nothing else to fear but me. Along these lines, I just thought maybe from last week's parsha we have the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, Hashem Hashem Keil Rachem Mechanan, and what's the part of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim? It's Poked Avon Avos Al Banim. It says, "Oh, Gevaldig, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out the sins of the fathers on the sons." Thank you so much for that. I mean, that's mamish like Machaya, to have your father's sins taken out on you. Like, why is that one of the Midos Harachamim? So there's a lot of different explanations, but just along these lines, you could also say that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach over families in Klal Yisrael, to the point that if he sees a son being machzik ma'isa avosa biyado, meaning that if a person is not machzik ma'isa avosa biyado, then he's not going to get punished. That's what the Gemara Bracha says. And Rashi quotes it in Parashat also. But if a person is machzik ma'isa avosa biyado, he's a second generation, he's a Rasha ben Rasha, then he gets punished as a Rasha ben Rasha, as opposed to gets punished like a Rasha ben Sadik or Stama Rasha. That's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand berachamim, that you give us everything v'ashgacha pratis, and that's a tremendous rachamim in the sense that we know where it's coming from and we know it's all just and we know it's all deserved. As opposed to if we just say olam kiminhago noeg, that the world is just running based on the stars, just based on teva. So that's there's no rachamim in that. There's no rachamim even when the rachamim is some sort of a din that we don't like. There's still rachamim in the fact that we know where it's coming from. The famous pasuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech says gam ki elech b'geit salmaves lo ira ra ki atay madi. Right. So David HaMelech says, I don't fear ra. What doesn't he say? I would have thought, David HaMelech saying, if I'm walking in the gates of Movis, right, as they translated on TV, the valley of the shadow of death, right? So what's so I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death. So what should it say? Lo ira, right? Movis, ki atah imadi. I'm not afraid of Movis because you're with me, right? But it doesn't say that. It says lo ira ra. I don't fear evil. What's the pshat? Meaning, it doesn't matter whether or not I live or die in that sense. I don't fear that. That's not, my fear is ra. My fear is that something evil should befall me. Something should happen to me that's not the way things are supposed to go. That's olam kiminhago noeg. That's some type of teva ruling my life. That's what I fear. But if I know ki ata imadi, I don't fear ra. Whatever happens to me, even if mavis overtakes me, I'm in the gates of mavis. It's possible that mavis will overtake me, but I'll know it's from you. And then and for that reason, I have no fear. That's the idea. That if we know that we're being ruled over directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything is Me'es Hashem or Yisra Zos, then we have no fear. Meaning, how could you fear the Ratzon Hashem? How could you fear the exact right thing happening to you? How could you fear Kol David Rachmana L'Tav Hu Da'Ovid? Right? That's the definition of Tav. The opposite of Ra. Ra is when something happens that's not supposed to happen. Tav is Kol David Rachmana L'Tav Hu Da'Ovid. Everything Hashem does is good. Because it's exactly what's supposed to happen. So you can't fear that. It might not be exactly what you were planning on. It might not be exactly what you wanted to happen. But Ashrecha Yisrael, that everything that happens to you is exactly the right thing. That's the pshat. And that's why David HaMelech continues, Shivdecho Mishantecha Himi Nachmuni. What's a shavit versus a mishanet, right? A shavit is a stick that you hit with, right? A mishanet is a stick that you lean on. It's a walking stick, right? Ein anu al mi lehishoin, says the Mishnah, right? We have no one else on whom to lean, el avinu shebashamayim, right? We lean on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it doesn't matter, says David HaMelech, if it's a shevet or it's a mishenes, I'm happy either way, because I know it's from you. That's the idea that David HaMelech is saying, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying. And along these lines, I saw in the Sif Seichaim, he quotes from the Maral. The Sif Seichaim is found in Chela Gimel of Moadim, page Resh Mem Tes. He quotes from the Maral in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, Perek Yudalid, that, and the Maral quotes the Maisa of this Gemara, and he asks the Marshal's Kasha, and he says along the same lines, he says, for Kla Yisrael, there is no Madrega Beinonis, there is no middle level, that you're an okay guy. You can't be an okay guy in Kla Yisrael. Oh, Heim Moshlem Al HaKol, or HaKol Moshlem Aleim. So he says, either the Bnei Yisrael are rule over everything, or everything rules over them. There is no middle ground. So what's the pshat over there? So Reb Chaim Friedlander quotes from the Briskarov a very interesting vort. He says, we know that the Kuzari counts five levels of creations that a Kadosh Baruch Hu made. Right, so you have, what do you have? You have Domim, Someach, Chai, Medaber, Yisro. So he says again, so you guys know what all this stuff is? Right, so you have, so he says a very interesting vort. He says, each one literally exists on its own plane. So he says, and what's the raya for this, and what's the metzius of this? So he says, something which is tzomeach, if you rip it out of its source, if you rip a plant out of its source, so if it was all on the same level, just one was higher than the other, what would happen to it? It would go down to becoming a lower level. It would go down to domain. You take a nice, beautiful plant, you rip it out of the ground, you leave it there, so it should become a rock. But it doesn't. It withers and dies. It becomes nothing. So he's saying, if you disconnect any one of these madrigas from its source, it doesn't go down to become part of the lower level. It just becomes nothing. It becomes dead. So he says, the same is true for all the levels. Obviously, it's more obvious on it. If you have a chai, if you have a behemoth, and you kill the behemoth, you cut it off from its life force, it doesn't go down to become a plant. It just dies, and it rots, and it decays. So he says the same is true for Yisrael. Yisrael is on a different level than Stam HaMedaber, Stam another human being. So he says for Yisrael, if the Yisrael loses its status, if it disconnects from its source, what's the source that makes a Yisrael? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the direct connection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a Jew is cut off from the source of what makes him a Jew, he can't just be, Stam, I'll be a Medaber. I'll be a regular one of the Umos HaOlam. It doesn't work. So he says, you don't go down to Stam HaMedaber. You become nothing. You become the lowest of the low. You become literally cut off from your source till you wither away and become nothing. So he says, that's the pshat that the Maharal was talking about. There's no midah beinonis for a Klal Yisrael. You can't settle. A Jew is not satisfied, you know, sitting down on a Sunday afternoon with a beer in hand and, you know, watching, you know, 9 straight hours of football. That's not going to satisfy a Jewish neshama. He's saying you can't cut yourself off from the source like that to be in a situation where you're just going to be a medaver. It doesn't work. So that's perhaps the pshat over here also, that bizman she'ein osim ritzono shel makom, you don't just go back to being a regular guy. Now you don't have all the benefits of being a Jew. It doesn't work that way, right? We have every time, we have in Tocha and Bechukosai, we have the Tokacha in Kisavo, talks about if you do the Ratzon Hashem, you get amazing things. If you don't do the Ratzon Hashem, you don't get amazing things. No, you get the opposite. God forbid. You get the opposite. Right? No nation has ever suffered like Klal Yisrael has suffered because we can't be located in that middle area. It says we're either the top of the top or the bottom of the bottom. That's just the way it is. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying, Asherecha Yisrael, too. Interesting word. Okay. So let's get into a little bit of the teretz that the Gemara offers. The first teretz is, Iboy Seima L'chvodo Hu Da'ovid. L'chvodo Hu Da'ovid. So one answer is, why was he zocha to lose all his money? Because he was only doing it in the first place for his own kovid. So this is also something very, very difficult. And this is a kasha, the Mashal asks this kasha, and you can ask the kasha, push it. So he says, we know that there's a concept of doing mitzvah shelo lishma, right? We have the famous Gemara in Psachim on Daf Nun Amid Aleph, the mitoch shelo lishma, bo lishma. We also have another Gemara in Psachim on Chesem Ad Beis, in Bava Basra, Yudim Ad Beis, that says, the guy gives stock and he says, Mona zu al menashet yichya b'ni, harezit tzadik gomer, right? He says, if you give tzedakah al menas sheyichya b'ni, you're a tzadik gomer, right? It's a machlokas. The Rabbeinu Hananel over there has a different gear. So the Rabbeinu Hananel says it's harezit tzedakah gomer. It's a mitzvah of tzedakah. It doesn't mean you're a tzadik gomer. It means you've done the mitzvah of tzedakah. Don't think that that's not a mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay. So just for starters, just as a side point, the Gemara of Mitoch Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma still is a kasha, but the other Gemara of a Manezeh Al Menashe Yichya B'ni, I don't think it's much of a kasha at all. Based on the Radvaz, there's a Radvaz on the Rambam, Nilchus Matnas Aniyim, it's Perek Zayin Halacha Yud. He quotes from the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Tes. The Gemara in Tainus mentions, Asur Lenasos Es Hashem, you're not allowed to, it's a Pasuk actually, the Gemara, just quoting a Pasuk. You're not allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi and the Rishonim explain over there, what does it mean you're not allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're not allowed to do a mitzvah and say, okay, let's sit back and see the results of my mitzvah. I'll do the mitzvah because I want to get X in return. Right? You're not allowed to do such a thing. So the Radvaz says over there, that he quotes the Gemara, that same Gemara in Tainus, which says that doesn't apply to Meiser, the mitzvah of Meiser, and specifically Meiser Ani, we have the drush on the Pasuk, Aser Kidei Shetis Asher, right? From the Pasuk of Aser to Aser, right? So we have the Pasuk of, and we darshan Aser Kidei Shetis Asher, that you should give Meiser in order that you should become rich. So then the Gemara says, I am Asel Anas Hashem, so they learn from Xeris HaKosev that by Meiseris, it's mutal inasos as Hashem, dafka by maisers. Dafka by that type of a mitzvah. But by other mitzvah, say nachinami, it's also inasos as Hashem. So the Radvaz points out that he thinks it's the same halacha by tztaka as well. That maiser is lav dafka maiser. It's maiser ani, which is the mitzvah of tztaka. And therefore, it's mutal inasos as Hashem by the mitzvah of tzedaka. I heard once that that's the pshat with making mishaberichs, because really when you make mishaberichs, there's two major problems with making mishaberichs. I don't want to get into the first one. But the second one is that, what do you say? You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do this for me, ba'avur that I do this. What do you mean, ba'avur that I do this? So I'm gonna do mitzvah X so that you give me Y. You should give a refuah shlema because I'm gonna do this. So based on the Radvaz, and others say this as well, that by tztaka it's mutter lenasos. Really, the real I don't know if they've changed the nusach in the siddurim, but the real nusach by I think all mishaberichs is bavur sheetein letztaka. Not bavur. We've changed it recently since we didn't want to make all these false commitments to giving tztaka, so we changed it bavur she mispalim bavur. But mistama, that's not correct. Mistama, you should say bavur sheetein letztaka bavur. I don't know. Lemaisa, for your own personal self. I don't know, I'm sure there's a good answer to why people do it that way, but for your own personal selves, you should just keep in mind that if you're ever going to make a Mishaberich, you should give something. You don't have to give $1,000 every time you get a Mishaberich, but I'm saying, if you get a Mishaberich, it's kedai to give some tzedakah, because that is the halacha is dafka, that it's mutter lenasos by tzedakah. And therefore, it's worthwhile to give some money to tzedakah if you're going to make a Mishaberich and ask for something in return for the mitzvah that you do. Right, I don't know, just a thought. I don't know, anybody ever heard of any other terutzim to why we do that? I don't know. There's a separate issue also by Mishaberichs, but whatever. I'm getting involved with it now. But anyway, so that's why I don't think the Gemara in Bava Basra is such a big kasha on this case of Makdim Ben Gurion, because if the guy says Manazu al Menashe Yichya Bini, I raise that, especially if you have the Rabbi Nachmanel's girsa, I raise that Staka Gamur, right, Staka Gemura, I don't know. So yeah, this is complete tzedakah, so that's enachinami, that's the mitzvah tzedakah. But even if you want to say the gear says Hariz at Tzadik Gomer, because he did the mitzvah tzedakah, by the mitzvah tzedakah, it's totally permissible to do that. You don't have to shy away from it. But Lamaisa, what about the Gemara where we say mitok shalol lishma bo lishma? So this is a strong kasha. So the Marsha has one teretz. The Marsha quotes from Tosfos, that Tosfos is in Psachim on the Gemara mitok shalol lishma bo lishma, is the Divrei Maskil of the Khan. Tosfos quotes a stira between that Gemara and the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin. Tosfos doesn't ask by it, but there's also a similar Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus mentions that halomed shalol lishma nasa sam hamavas. It's also a similar vart, but he specifically says halomed shalol lishma. So he says noach lo shalom nivra. Person who learns Torah shalol lishma, it's better that he wasn't created. So Tosfos gives a teretz in Maseches Pesachim. Tosfos writes, and he writes similarly in Tainus as well. Tosfos writes that's only talking when it says noach lo shalom nivra. That's only talking about somebody who's lomed al menas lehisyorer al chaverav. He wants to lord over his friends. He wants to show off, right? Ulakanter, and he wants to shtach everybody in learning. He wants to show off in learning, to show off. Interesting, because the Gemara, Tosfos in Tainus writes, it's not considered a problem if you learn Almanas that people should call you rabbi, right? If you want to be called rabbi, so not that I want to know, I don't know why anybody would want to be called that, but if you want to be called Rebbe, then you want everybody, when they have a kasha, they should come to you, so you'll feel good about yourself. That's called mitok shalol lishma bo lishma. But on the other hand, if you're doing it dafka to be annoying, to dafka to show everybody how much better you are in learning than they are, so that's considered noach lo shalom nivra. There's a special level over there where we're saying that it's noach lo, it's better that he wouldn't have learned at all than to learn on such a level of lo lishma. I had a thought, I forgot what it was. All right, maybe it'll come back to me. So Lamaisa, we have different madregas in shalol lishma, and therefore we can explain that maybe the pshat in the Gemara over here, de lechvodo hu da Ovid, was talking about a person who mamish wanted to be misyair on everybody else, that he was such a gavalig about staka over everybody else. He mamish wanted to stick it to everybody else by showing what a tremendous about staka he was, he didn't have any element of mito shalol lishma bo lishma in that tzedakah. Although Rabbi Chanan points out in the Kovet Shirim that's it's very hard to say that, because this is a guy who was he might not have been a tremendous tzaddik in every aspect of his avodas Hashem, but at the very least he's a tremendous davener. You know, it's hard to be a great davener and be such a, you know, such a terrible individual that you're literally giving your tzedakah. I mean, okay, lemaisa, there are money carries with it tremendous pitfalls. It could be by inyanim bein adam lamakom, he was a tremendous davener, but when it came to dinei mamonis, wasn't so much. That unfortunately is more common than other cases of stiras in a person's avodas Hashem. But L'maisa, people have steiras in their avodas Hashem. Everyone has minor steiras. Some people have major steiras. So this perhaps was one major steira in the avodas Hashem of Nachdim and Ben Gurion. I just want to tell you over two quick things. I'll have to finish up the rest of it. Mirtz Hashem Thursday. Maybe we'll actually do some halacha l'maisa stuff. But the hemshich of the marsha. I'll quote you his lashon. He's a very tough lashon there. He says, when after he points out that maybe Nachdim Ben Gurion was mamish giving 100% shelo lishma, so he writes v'rabim bedor hazeh shemekabtzin osher shalahem shelo be'emuna uvechilul Hashem. So he says that there are many in our generation and already in his time that gain tremendous fortune, gain tremendous wealth, doing so shelo be'emuna. They do so in an untrustworthy fashion and using chilul Hashem ki gzeilas ovid kochavim. They steal from goyim. The acher kach misnadvim may also mammon lios lem kovid, b'kol shana v'loseis lehem birchas mishaberich lios lem shame v'tiferes. Says, and they take all the money that they stole or they earned questionably, and they give tzedakah, and they want to hear mishaberichs in their name, and they want to get a good name, and they want to receive a lot of kovid from their mitzvahs. The ein ze el a mitzvah haba ba'avera, the ein la osher as a melach v'kiyum kidamar hacha. So he says, that's a mitzvah baba vera, and their wealth will not last, as we see over here by the case of Basmak Nachim Ben Gurion. It's a very harsh thing. Apparently, this problem is not a new problem to the Jewish people. It existed even already in the times of the Marsha. Just in terms of Tosfos, I recently saw a very interesting vort. In terms of Tosfos' chilek, between a person who's lomed lekanter, so I saw a very interesting vort in the, they published the, last year, the shiurim of Rav Yaakov Moshe Kalevsky from Ne Yisrael. So he has Mamorim in the back. So he says on the Megillah, what's Pshat She'ela Siu Bakosha Si? Right? Esther is constantly mechalik between her She'ela and her Bakosha. So he says, no. One is talking, when it comes to She'ela, She'ela is something you ask for yourself. And the Bakosha is something you ask for that benefits others as well. That's not his Pshat. That's the Pshat from the Vilna Gaon. So he says that's why the, and if it's meduyik in the lashon of the Megillah that he says mashe laseich umabash v'tinasein loch umabakosha seich ad chatzia malchus v'seyos. He doesn't give this diyuk, but I think it's pasha like that. No, that he says that what's your she'ela, and it will be given to you, and what's your bakosha up to half the malchus, meaning that's something that's no gay to others, up to half the malchus. So Rav Kalevsky wants to say that's also pshat in David Amelech's famous line, "Acha sha'alti meis Hashem osa avakish shivti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai." What's the pshat? So he gives l'mashal. There's two guys. Each one wants to be the top guy in the yeshiva, right? One guy wants to be the top guy in the yeshiva, to be the top guy, right? He wants to be better than everyone else. And if he's learning great and everyone else is learning great, that's not so good for him. Because, you know, it could be that everybody will be on a similar madriga to him. He's not going to be meeker in his gaonis that he's such a tremendous Talmud. Mashenkin, the second guy, he wants to be the top guy in the Shiva, but he wants to be a top guy in the Shiva L'Shem Shamayim. He wants to bring out more of Hashem's Torah into the world. So for him, halavai that everyone should even be better than he is. He wants to be a top guy, objectively top. But if everyone else in the yeshiva becomes gedolei gedolim and he just becomes a regular gadol, isn't he? You know, obviously he wants to become as great as he could be, but Lamais, at the end of the day, he would never want to dafka be greater than anybody else and thereby lead into a miyuk kovet shemayim in the world. So Rav Kalevsky says, that's the pshat by David HaMelech. He says, Acha shalti meis Hashem, osa avakesh shivti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayei. I don't want it just to live in the house of Hashem kol yimei chayei for myself. I want it for everybody. So he says, I'm asking for myself, but osa avakesh. I'm also halavai, everyone in the world should be on my madrega. Halavai, everyone in the world should live beveis Hashem kol yimei chayei. That's the pshat. He's saying it was a true asking l'shem shamayim. The difference between a person asks shelo l'shem shamayim, Dafka wants it for himself and not for others. But a person who asks l'shem shamayim, halavai, everybody should be on a level to be living beveis Hashem kol yimei chayei. Okay. One more pshat I have time for. I wanted to say another explanation for this Gemara in terms of why wasn't it okay for Nachdim Ben Gurion to give for his own kavod. So as we'll see a little bit more about this later, But there's a famous piece from Chaim Belozner in the Ruach Chaim. It's in the first Mishnah in the third parak of Pirkei Avos, and also Rav Dessler elaborates on it in the first Teiluk of Michta Me'aliyah on page 24. That there's different levels of Shalol Lishma. Rav Chaim Belozner gives a mashal. He says that a master tells his servant, "I want you to climb up to the top of that roof." So is the master going to get angry at the servant if the servant starts from the first rung of the ladder and walks up the ladder one by one? Of course not. That's how you get to the top. What are you, he's going to tell the servant to be superhuman and jump all the way to the top? That's ridiculous. So Rav Chaim Belozner says, Shelo Lishma is a necessary component of eventually being Osik v'Torah v'Mitzvos Lishma. You can't. He says anyone who thinks that they're going to jump straight to Torah Mitzvos Lishma is fooling themselves. You have to start Shelo Lishma. You have to start by, you know, building up certain positive habits and positive behaviors, and eventually then jump to Lishma. The people who try to jump in Lishma, those people are the people who try to skip steps. They skip steps on the ladder. They eventually, unfortunately, come crashing back down to earth. You know, those guys who think that they're above the natural progression of humanity. That's a major problem. So based on this, Rav Dessler wants to say that there's different levels in learning Shalol Lishma and doing mitzvah Shalol Lishma. Person who does mitzvah Shalol Lishma thinking that this is the mitzvah. You know, this is the mitzvah. I'm learning Torah Shalol Lishma. I'm doing mitzvah Shalol Lishma. That's because that's all I'm interested in doing. So a person who's giving tzedakah only for his own kavod, so he's doing something which is inherently wrong. His Torah is not sasam amavis. He's noach lo shalom nivra. But a person who does the Torah and mitzvah Shalol Lishma, knowing in the back of his mind that mitok Shalol Lishma balishma, this is a necessary step that Kadosh Baruch Hu created me as a human being, and hopefully I'll be able to eventually develop further into a person who serves Hashem l'shem shamayim only. So the person who does that, that's the guy for whom we say mitok Shalol Lishma balishma. That's the guy who says I'm giving the tzedakah al menas that my son should get her for shleima, that he's a tzaddik gomer, because he understands he's doing it Shalol Lishma, but he recognizes that halavai, I should go weiter in my avodas Hashem, and I should eventually learn to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishma. So if we want to say that Nachdiman Ben Gurion was giving the tzedakah for his own kavod, nistama, he had already been giving tzedakah for years and years and years, and if he had never advanced past the madrega of Shalol Lishma, then that's a major problem. That means that he wasn't doing it having in mind that it'll eventually lead to Lishma. He was always doing it Shalol Lishma as an end in and of itself, and therefore, he was punished as such. Okay, Mirta Shem will continue.